Here. Thanks for having me. It's a blessing to come this way. Thank you, Quartet. I haven't heard that song in 25 years, I guess. That's brought back some memories. Thank you for that. Brother David Brown says hello. Amen. Brother Michael Odom says, hey, y'all. He's looking forward to getting back up here, and we're glad to have him come this way. You're a blessing to him, and that's a blessing to us. I'll tell you a little story about visitation. This just happened a week or so ago. It's too funny. So two men from our church out knocking on doors, and they knocked on this door, and a lady answered the door, and she said, did you not see the no soliciting sign? And one of the men said, well, ma'am, I saw the no soliciting sign, but your doormat said welcome, so I was confused. And she said, well, you're not welcome. And so they left and went to the next house. As they were coming down to drive from the next house, they heard a commotion and a noise, and they looked around the fence. She had taken the welcome mat and put it in a garbage can. I guess they weren't welcome. She wasn't going to take a chance of that happening again. But we are, it's a blessing to be here. And Pastor asked that I preach my favorite sermon out of the Old Testament. And this is an odd thing because I've never preached this sermon until just a few months ago. And I want to tell you why I love the Bible. I was saved in December of 1976. That's a long time ago. And been reading the Bible, studying the Bible almost every day since that time. And it just thrills my soul that I am continually seeing things that I never saw before. And you wonder, how could you read a book 45 years and miss something as obvious as what you just saw? There's no other book like that in the world. You get any book in any bookstore, you get any book out of any library, and you read it every day for 3 months, you'll be tired of it. But every day for a year, 2 years, 10 years, and I'm telling you, sometimes you'd almost think this is the living word of the living God. It's a strange thing. The more you read it, it gets smaller and larger all at the same time. It fits more compactly together, and yet it runs in so many more directions than you thought it could run. It's just a wonderful book. So let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter 1, I'll show you my favorite thing out of each chapter in the Old Testament. You said we're going through Friday night, right? All right, Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Please bless your word, we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. Amen. I believe that. Yeah. I'm thankful I'm old enough to have been taught that in elementary school and in Sunday school. Yeah. I didn't have any Sunday school teachers that taught that we were evolutionary byproducts, and I didn't have any school teachers when I was a little boy that taught we were evolutionary byproducts, and I thank God for that. I would say this to you. If you can believe the first verse in the Bible, you can believe everything in the Bible.
Amen. That's good.
If God created the heaven and the earth, then there's nothing else that the scripture says he did that you'd have any problem with. He's that big, he's that great, he's that powerful. All right, skip down to chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us, so we believe in one God who's a Trinity, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Bible says in 1 John 5:7, God singular said, let us, plural, make man in our plural image after our plural likeness. And so what is a man according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23? You are spirit and soul and body. You are a triune being. There's one of you in three parts. There's one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I don't want to give up that dominion. The politics of the day and the science falsely so called of the day would place you on an equal footing with worms and birds and the rest of that. God gave us dominion. Hallelujah. And so I intend to keep that. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And that's it.
Amen.
5 years ago, you wouldn't even have to say that. But tonight, we just throw this in. God made male.
Amen.
And female.
Amen.
and that's all.
Amen.
Not male and female and. Amen. He made male and female, created right. them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, so it's a blessing to be a man. It's a blessing to be a woman. It's a blessing to be made by God.
Amen.
And God blessed them. Hope you're enjoying the blessings of the Lord tonight. Listen, the intent of the world and the primary voices of the world, the media and Hollywood, is to make you discontented. If you're a man, be discontented. If you're a woman, be discontented. If you're black, be discontented. If you're white, be discontented. If you're poor, the constant theme round the clock is you should be discontented because of who you are, what you are, what somebody else has that you don't have. And the Bible from the very first chapter says, why don't you decide to be blessed
Amen.
Instead
Amen.
Of discontented? Because Amen. There's 1,000 blessings in your life every single day that you could thank God for. Don't miss out on them. Somebody provoking you and stirring you up to be unhappy about something. We were laughing today as I was laughing with some people Sunday back home. We go to the restaurant to complain about how bad the economy is. I mean, honestly, God's been really good to us.
Yeah.
He really has. And so he says, God bless them. Now, here's what I want you to see. Send to them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God made the man and the woman so they could make babies. Here's a deep spiritual truth from the Bible that just happens to line up with science. Two men can't make a baby, two women can't make a baby. So when God wanted babies, he made a man and a woman. What a smart God. And what a scientific God. It seems like he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
All right, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15. Genesis 2 verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, so here's what we want to establish tonight before we get to the message. We're laying some groundwork here. God is the creator.
That's right.
That gives him authority.
Yeah.
Then God makes a man and a woman. God has authority over them, and God gives them authority over what he made.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
They are free, but they are free under God's authority. They may live as they please, but they would do well to live as God pleases. Now, God gave the woman the responsibility from creation to bear children.
Amen.
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 So that's you would expect a society that moves farther and farther and farther from God and from the Bible to think it's a bad thing to bear children.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not. And God put the man to work in a garden. As a society moves farther and farther from God and from the Bible, men view work as a bad thing or a negative thing or something to be avoided, and that is not true. And the reason I want you to see that is, before we get into Genesis chapter 3, which where we spend our time this evening, the woman is not cursed with bearing children. She is blessed by God to bear children before she ever falls. The man is not cursed with working. He is blessed by God with work to do before he ever falls.
Amen.
Amen. Now, when everything gets turned upside down like the world we live in today, work is a curse, being a mother is a curse, being under God's authority is a curse, and yet the people who view what God made them to do is a bad thing are so unhappy.
Yeah.
They are air conditioned, they are heated, they are carpeted, they are refrigerator, they are microwave, they are 60 mile an hour automobiles, and yet they complain all day long about life in general because they are not enjoying the blessings of the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's our starting place. Now, God told them that that they could eat everything. Now, if you read those verses, well, God told me he couldn't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's problematic. God told them they could eat everything, but one tree. What is it in the human heart that wants to touch the bench with a sign that says wet paint? What is in the human heart that wants to step on the grass where the sign says, stay off the grass? What is that? And this is before the fall. Now, here's what I want you to see. We get chapter 3 in just a second. Come back to chapter number 1, Genesis chapter 1, and look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, end of the verse. God saw that it was good. End of verse 12. God saw that it was good. End of verse number 18. God saw that it was good. All through Genesis chapter 3, day after day after day, creative act after creative act after creative act, till we get to verse 31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So God makes a world that is very good. He creates this earth and all that is in it in 6 literal days and says it's very good. And he puts the man in that earth in the garden to work in that earth. He puts the woman in that earth to support the man in his work on the earth and bear children. And God says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, listen, young people. The only thing they had to gain from eating that tree was the knowledge of evil. Their entire life was an experience of good.
That's right.
Nothing in their lives was anything but good. Everything God had made was good, including the man for the woman and the woman for the man and the job he gave them to do and the place he gave them to live.
Yeah. That's right.
So what Satan wants to tempt, in particular young people, but anybody that's grown up in church and been faithful to the Lord, and he's always calling you to leave church, get out in the world, leave the Christian life and go out and explore a little bit. Well, okay, so what do you know growing up in church and living by the Bible? Happiness, peace, joy, contentment, satisfaction, hope. Well, so what do you have to learn by leaving this? Despair, murder, unhappiness, addiction, sorrow, right?
Yeah.
So that's the devil's trick. Well, God's keeping you from something. Wouldn't you like to know what God's keeping you from? Trust me, you don't.
Yeah. Amen.
You don't want to know what God's keeping you from, because if he's keeping you from something, a loving God is keeping you from that which would harm you.
Amen.
And so the man has to be deceived, the woman has to be deceived into forsaking. All right, one more thing before we get to our chapter. Chapter 2, verse 21, Lord God caused deep sleep fall upon Adam. He slept. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woe man and brought her unto the man. And Adam said this, now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called, look, woman, capital W, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So God didn't make the woman from part of Adam's brains to boss him around, and he didn't make her from part of his feet, sir, to be walked on.
Yeah.
Rib, side by side.
Amen.
Equal Amen. Partners in life, leaning upon one another, supporting one another. That's what God intended. All right, chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3. Here we go. Now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we made, you say, so what's the woman's first mistake? Why is she talking to a serpent that's questioning what God told her? Why engage in that conversation? You see, young man, young lady, your problem is not the drug dealer, it's not the pornographer, it's not the booze peddler. Your problem is a curiosity. Your problem is a willingness to engage in those conversations. You know why an atheistic parent wouldn't want their child being witnessed to by a Christian? Because the Christian might influence them.
Yeah.
You know why a Christian parent doesn't want you listening to the voice of the world and Satan and because it might influence you.
Amen.
So the woman's having a conversation here she shouldn't have. And she said, but the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, which God has said, ye should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Well, that's not what he said. He said, you'll surely die. She said, you know, if we eat that fruit, there's a possibility we could die. God didn't say there's a possibility. He said, you'll surely die. And the serpent said of the woman, knowing that she's already has some doubts in her mind about what God said, he said, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, how about that? So Satan today, we're so far from God, we're so far from the Bible, the fastest growing, largest religion in the world that calls itself Christian, its foundational doctrine is ye shall be as gods. That's pretty strange. Millions and millions and millions of people belong to a religion or centered primarily in India that teaches you that eventually you'll be a god. Yeah. Well, all you got to do is read the first three chapters of the Bible to know that isn't the voice of the Lord. But the woman, she fell for it. What does she want? She doesn't want to be blessed by God under his authority. She wants to be blessed by God and be her own authority. And that's your challenge. That's my challenge to this day.
Yeah, amen.
We want God's blessings, but we don't want God's rules. See? And God wants to give us his blessing without our vying for authority. That's the devil's trick. All right, so anyway, verse number 6, woman saw a tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. All right, one last shot at the young people. You always get picked on, everybody always preaching, well, now this is for the young people. And the reason we do that is because we know the old people aren't listening. But anyway, we'll take a shot at the young people. She saw the tree that it was good for food. She saw the tree that it was desired. You know what? You want to put that in modern terms? That woman could have said, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, here's what you got to do. I don't care if you're a young person 75 years old or a young person 17. You've got to trust God to believe that something is hurtful, even if you don't see that it's hurtful.
Amen. Amen.
You got to believe God enough. You got to trust God enough to where if he says, don't go that way, it's not good for you. It doesn't matter if you see that that way leads in a bad direction, or you can't trust the sight of your eyes. How far can you see from where you're standing compared to how far God can see from where he's standing?
Amen.
If God says, don't get on that road, trust him. Don't say, I don't see anything wrong with it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
And so the woman, she saw, she said, I don't see anything wrong. Well, God told her something was wrong with it. Verse 7, the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now look what they have. They still have the garden. They still have the trees. They still have each other. They're still alive. But now they're living in fear. Now they're living in shame. Now they're living in guilt. Now the God who made them for fellowship and they have an opportunity to spend their life in fellowship with God, suddenly that fellowship is broken. What did they gain by eating that fruit? It's just better trust God. Just do what he says. You'd think we would learn that by now. And Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, I heard that voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, it's too cold up here to really need too much preaching on modesty. We need a lot of it down in Florida. But it's a funny thing. The man and the woman thought they had covered themselves. And then God showed up. And they said they were naked. Well, they weren't naked compared to no clothes on. And they weren't naked compared to being with someone who didn't have much clothes on. But when God showed up, they suddenly realized these aprons aren't going to cut it. We better get behind the trees. You want to dress for success before you leave the house. Ask yourself what God thinks about it, not what the magazine or the website thinks about it. So, amen. There's no extra charge for that. I just threw that in. All right. And he said to them, who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And a man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. So here's a quick note. If you're ever going to get saved, you've got to stop blaming other people for your sin.
Amen. Yeah.
You'll never get saved pointing and saying, my mother was no good. My dad was abusive. My government did this to me, and my neighbor did that. I knew a preacher one time that did this. I knew a deacon one time that was crooked. That ain't going to get you out of hell. You got to answer to God for yourself.
Right.
And Adam, in essence, he's blaming God. He didn't just say the woman. He said, the woman you gave me.
Yeah. Right.
I was fine till you gave me that woman. Well, that isn't true. And he says, verse number 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So she's blaming the devil. Adam's blaming his wife. Adam's blaming God. She's blaming the devil. That's not going to get you out of the mess you're in.
Yeah.
All right, so verse 15. I'm sorry, let's get to 14, 15. Let's get to verse 16 because I want to get to the message. Ready for the message? That's introduction. Here we go, the message. So God tells that woman, if you eat that fruit, you'll surely die. In the day you eat that fruit, you'll surely die. And now here comes God. No wonder they're hiding.
Yeah.
Now here comes God. What would you expect God to do but drop you dead?
Yes.
And I have preached this. You preachers have preached this. I've written this. The books I've read, they all wrote this. God came in the garden and pronounced the curse upon the fallen woman, and she left there. Now watch. Look at verse number 16. Unto the woman he said, I never saw this till last June. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The word curse is not in that verse. There's no curse in that verse. There's no pronunciation of death in that verse. Listen. So picture yourself. You are a woman who has eaten the fruit that God told you not to eat. You realize as soon as you eat that fruit that something has gone terribly wrong inside you. The world around you suddenly looks dark in a way it never looked before. And now you hear the voice of the Lord coming, and he told you if you ate that fruit, he would kill you. So what do? You run and hide. How do you hide from God? You get behind some bushes. You think that's sufficient? God walks right to the spot where they are. He calls that woman out, and listen what he tells her. If you'll let me help you, you'll still have babies. Did you see what you just read?
Amen.
How can you have sorrow in conception if you're dead?
Right. Yeah.
How can you have a difficult time bearing children if you're dead? Do you understand what she just heard? I don't know if she heard it. I don't know if she understood it. Maybe she was like me and she could have heard it for decades and it never sunk in. But what God said to her is, listen to me. You certainly deserve to die, and I am not a liar. But if you'll let me help you, if you'll let me help you, there's a way out of this. Now, you know what, brother, sister, if you're here tonight, you're not saved. I don't want to mislead you like a TV preacher. I don't want to mislead you like one of these modernist liberal preachers. Jesus Christ cannot take the sorrow out of your life that results from the sins you've committed. He cannot take the burdens away from the things that you have brought into your life by disobeying him. But I'll tell you what he can do. He can let you live and not die.
Amen.
He can give you eternal life instead of you dying under condemnation.
Amen.
That's what he offered this woman. In the worst day in the history of the human race, the day that sin entered the world, God shows up and offers that woman a chance to still have babies, a chance to still, that's what God made her for.
Amen.
You can still be what God made you to be.
Amen.
The Lord wishes that all the men in this world, he wishes none of them had ever become drunkards. He wishes that none of them had ever become drug addicts. He wishes that not one young lady had ever grown up to shame and defile herself in sexual sins or immorality. You understand?
That's right.
And those things hurt you, and they might hurt you for the rest of your life. You might have brought yourself into situations you can't get out of. But God doesn't want to kill you.
Amen.
He is not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked that he should die.
That's right.
And he says to that woman, let me help you, and you can still have children. Let me help you, and you can still fulfill the purpose for which I made you.
Good.
This is not a message of cursing. It's a message of hope.
Amen.
Take a look in the Bible in verse number 16. And here again, the farther we get from God, farther we get from the Bible, more our culture gets all mixed up. He says, and thy desire should be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. If people read their Bible instead of listening to some preachers that don't pay too close attention to the Bible, that wouldn't be so bothersome. You know what a ruler is in the Bible? A provider.
Amen.
You know what a ruler is in the Bible? A caretaker. If any man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Amen. That's right.
A ruler's not a dictator. He's not a boss man with a club in his hand. He's the one that provides for you.
Amen.
Protection. So listen, look what God does. This woman gets over under this tree and she's talking to this serpent, and the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. You know what the Lord said? If you'll let me help you, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put a daddy between you and the devil. Until one day he puts your hand in the hand of a man, and I'll order that man to stand between you and the devil. And when that man dies, I will tell the church in 1 Timothy chapter 5 to stand between you and the devil in your widowhood.
Amen.
If you'll let me help you, I will make sure the devil never gets at you again.
Amen.
That's not a curse.
That's right.
It's a blessing. This modern world, they take a few words out of the Bible. They don't read them in their context. They don't know what they're talking about. Oh, the Bible's against women. Really? Really? Okay, go to Saudi Arabia and try that religion.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah.
Go to North Korea and try no Bible. See how that works out for you.
Yeah.
Come on. Wherever Christianity takes root in the world, women are elevated to a place they never knew in the history of the world until the Bible got there.
That's right.
This is not God cursing the woman. This is God offering to help her. And so she stands put right there. Unto Adam he said, now watch this. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened on the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou should not eat of it. Cursed is the ground. Not Adam, the ground. For thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return on the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art. Unto dust shalt thou return. You say, well, there it is. That's the curse on the man. He's got to work. He was working before he fell.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Listen to what you just heard. This man is hiding from God because God said, in the day you eat that fruit, you will surely die. And God comes to that farmer and says, thorns, you brought those on yourself. Thistles, you brought those on yourself. Sweat, you brought that on yourself. But do you hear what God said? If you'll let me help you, you can farm all the days of your life. How is this man going to work a field that brings forth thorns and thistles if he's dead? How is this man going to sweat on the job if he's dead? God is offering this man a way to live and not die.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
His life will never be as easy as it would have been. His life will never be as comfortable as it would have been. His life will be far more difficult than it was supposed to be. But it's going to be life.
Amen. Amen.
If you'll just let me help you. I'm telling you, I've heard it preached all my Christian life. I've read it. My library is full of books. I've read it. I've preached it. I've repeated it. God didn't come and curse this man. He came and brought him away out of the trouble that he'd brought upon himself. Woman, you can still bear children. Man, you can still be a farmer. Let me help you.
Amen.
You know why it's so hard out there knocking on doors? People think God's against them. You know why it's hard preaching on that street, giving out those gospel tracts, telling your classmate, your coworker about the Lord? Deep down inside, they're hiding from God. They know they've sinned and they think he's out to get them. He's not. He's not. He's out to deliver you from what you've done to yourself. Praise the Lord. Well, what's he going to do? Well, the Bible says in verse number 21, and unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. If all you had was that verse and you didn't have the rest of the Bible, what I'm about to say would just be speculation. It would just be some religious man making up religious things. But we have the rest of the Bible. While that man stood there, while that woman stood there, not getting baptized, not joining a church, not doing good works, not giving money to the poor, not feeding the homeless, while they stood there and watched, God himself slew the first death in the world. God himself took a knife, the first blood ever shed on the face of this earth. God allowed an innocent creature to die instead of that man dying, to die instead of that woman dying. And God shed blood, and God took life, and God made a coat, and God made a cover. Listen, and God, this is what sets Christianity apart from every religion in the world. Listen to me, it's in the very day that man sinned, God brought a sacrifice to sinners. He did not ask sinners to bring a sacrifice to him.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Now listen, I'm not a hateful man. I'm not a critical man. I'm not cruel. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't care if it's Catholicism, Protestantism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Islam. You just pick a religion. And they will tell you what you have to bring to God in order for God to consider pardoning you. From the very day man sinned, the Bible is the complete opposite. God says, you stand there and what you've already done, what you can do, you stand, don't you do anything else.
That's right.
And God offers a sacrifice, and God brings that sacrifice to the man and brings that sacrifice to the woman and says, will you receive this covering that I made for you? And they walk out of there alive that day because a loving God and a gracious God allowed an innocent party to die that the guilty party might be covered and might live. And that, now look back at verse number 15. Lord speaking to the serpent, he says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first prophecy of Jesus Christ dying for sinners is in Genesis 3:15. And then it's illustrated by God when the first man who should have died lives, and the first woman who should have died lived. And from that point forward in your Bible, I'm not saying man because he didn't see it, but God is looking to Calvary from that day forward. Now, he's not in the roll call of faith, but I wondered for years and years and years and years, was Adam saved as we would understand it? Was Eve saved as we would understand it? The roll call of faith starts with Abel, and it'd be kind of tough to put Adam in there since Romans 5 tells us he's the one man that brought sin into the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men. It'd be tough to say, but Adam's a great guy. But I'll show you something. This amazing. I read this 1,000 times, and I didn't see it. This is why it's my favorite sermon, because it's like, hey, keep reading your Bible, boy.
Amen. That's good.
You say, did Adam believe God? I'll show you. What did God, he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. He said that, right? Yeah. And he also said, the day you eat thereof, you surely die. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, look at Genesis 2, look at it again, verse number 21, 23, Genesis 2:23. And Adam said, this mouth, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. Capital W. What's her name?
Woman.
That's her name. God says, I'll tell you what, if you'll let me help you, you can live and bear children and you can live and be a farmer. Look at Genesis 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. He changed her name. He changed her name before she ever got pregnant. I'm not trying to be irreverent. God says, y'all just stay put right here, right? They're guilty, they're scared, they're naked, and God's used, and God goes over there and starts slaying those animals. You think Adam and Eve are over here making out? I'm telling you, he hasn't kissed her since they fell. And God says, I'm going to let you live and farm, and I'm going to let you live and have children. And Adam turns to woman and says, from now on, I'm calling you Eve. Amen. You're the mother of all living. You know what that is? That's nothing but pure faith in God.
That's right.
That's nothing but pure hope in the promises of God. And he doesn't even know what God is going to do yet. The coats of skins to cover them are in verse 21. He calls her the mother of all living. And he believes God.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to tell you something tonight. I have everlasting life.
Yeah.
I will live forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in a glorified body. And I haven't seen any evidence of that whatsoever.
Right.
But I believe God.
Amen.
You say, why would you believe that? Well, because on the cross at Calvary, God offered a sacrifice,
right.
Brought that sacrifice to me through the voice of many witnesses. And if he is gracious enough to give a sinner like me this brand new life that I enjoy now, I am certain that if the down payment, the earnest, is this wonderful, the fullness of the salvation that he's given me is going to be pretty fantastic.
Amen. Amen.
Adam, isn't that remarkable how he changed her name?
Yes.
They believed God. God clothed them. Now, one last thing, because this is something I don't know. I can't find this anywhere else in the Bible. Verse 23. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, colon. Boys and girls, let me help you. You want a little grammar on a Wednesday night? This will help you. A sentence ends with a period, right? A phrase ends with a comma, and then we get to the period. Now, if God has something to say, and it's two separate thoughts, but he wants them to go together, he doesn't put the period until both thoughts are given. If one of them is a complete sentence and one of them is an incomplete sentence, in between them you have a comma with a period on top. If they're both complete sentences, you have two periods, colon, semicolon. Okay? Two sentences together, one's a complete sentence, one's a full sentence. If two complete sentences, colon, one complete sentence, one fragment, semicolon. Anyway, I only show you that so I can show you this. And now, lest he put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat and live forever, colon. So I'm finished with that statement. I'm going on to the next statement, but they go together. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. You know what's great about that? What's not there. I've heard preachers preach about what would have happened if Adam had stayed in the garden. I've heard preachers preach about what would happen if Adam had gotten back in the garden. I've heard preachers preach about what would happen if Adam had got to the tree of life and eaten the tree of life. You know what God said? Look at it. Look at verse 23, or 22. Lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, colon, period. That's all I'm going to say about that. You don't know what would have happened. You know why? It didn't happen.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't know what might have taken place because it never took place.
Amen.
Yeah. Now listen, I'll say this and I'll be done. Here's what's so great about getting saved. There is a point in time when, period, your old life is over.
Amen.
But it's not the end of the sentence, because there's a whole new life to be lived. But there's this great empty place where all the horrible, terrible things I might have done never, ever happen.
Amen. That's good.
Where all the terrible mistakes I could have made and all the disasters that could have happened in my life would have been.
Yeah.
But they're just not there.
Amen.
Because God came and saved me from a life that, hallelujah, will now never happen.
Amen. Praise God.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
But you can get up and say, well, if I hadn't got saved, I don't know where I'd be. You don't know where you'd be.
Yeah.
If the Lord hadn't saved me, I might have, well, you might have done this, you might have done that, but you'll never know.
Amen.
Because Adam never got back in that garden.
Amen.
And you'll never be outside of Christ again if you get saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. There's this great tearing out of all these pages in the record of my life, because they'll never be written.
Yeah, that's good.
Because Jesus saved me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So this is the blessing to me. In the worst day in the history of the human race, God was at his very best.
Amen.
And he doesn't desire to curse sinners. We do that to ourselves. He doesn't desire to destroy people's lives. They do that to themselves. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And he came to a man that deserved to die and said, if you'll let me help you, you can still be a farmer. And he came to a woman who deserved to die and said, if you'll let me help you, you can still have children. It'll be more difficult than it would have been if you hadn't disobeyed me, but you don't have to die. You can live.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truths of your word. Thank you for beginning the Bible with a preface that carries through all the way to the end. Thank you for your grace and your mercy towards sinners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Let's have a time of invitation.